Okay. Hello, everybody. It's your Chapo. We're coming to you live from Absolutely Studios, and we're joined again by Tim Heidecker. Tim.
Happy to be back again.
What's going on?
On my turf.
Yes.
On my grounds.
And I would like to say, just to set things off, happy Columbus Day.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad you made all your staff come in and work for
us. I was surprised. I thought it'd be a ghost town here, but there's all these little hipsters here typing away. Yeah.
That's because they're disrespecting Italian-American heritage.
No, they're disrespecting World Indigenous Peoples Day by coming in and working.
For those of you who don't know, in 1492, Columbus landed on Comet Ping Pong Rock in the New World.
Yes, and it's been a new world ever since then.
Maybe we could do a thing where I'm Christopher Columbus, and they've just come time travel to 2017. And what has it become of this new world that I've founded? Can you say? Is everybody so happy?
None of these people in this new continent live with their mothers.
I like the jumper suits. That's a nice intervention.
I just want to say, seriously, though, the Blue Lives Matter.
Actually, Amber, Matt, and I had lunch the other day in a local favorite Italian restaurant. That was
told it is not a local favorite.
Well, we couldn't really. Yeah. Derek couldn't vouch for it because he hadn't eaten there.
He was very scared that the food was going to be bad and that we were going to then judge him.
Well, what was it called?
It was a classic.
Palermo's.
It was classic old world cuisine.
And there was sort of like they had this whole wall of, like, you know, sort of like as you walk to the bathroom, they had this like two huge glass cases filled with the patches of like almost every different like police special unit from across the country. The special victims unit, the criminal intent
unit. It's like being home back in New York.
Yeah. And then they had a good picture by the bathroom of Ray Liotta with the owner. You know, like
this new sort of Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, we just found that out.
Yeah. New Colonel Sanders. Yeah,
Colonel Sanders is Ray fucking Liotta.
Wow.
I wanted Nashville hot chicken. They gave me a microwave bird and a bottle of Tabasco.
But, no, yeah.
Why did you flush those chicken tenders, Karen?
They
would have
found
it. We needed those.
And then, of course, we were like, Karen... is this Janice Rossi, apartment you are? You've got a Noid in your apartment building. She's ruining pizzas.
I just don't know, Paul. I mean, maybe he's a bad seed. He just comes in and he ruins pizzas.
Oh.
What I should do? Kill this Noid?
Well, you should at least avoid. You should at least avoid him.
I mean, once you've reached the Liotta barrier, it means that every actor will be Colonel Sanders at one point.
You have to. It's part of joining SAG.
Yeah. You have to sign that at some point you will get a knock on the door and it'll be your Colonel Sanders come in the van.
Wasn't there a story? Who was the first guy that did it? Was
Daryl Hammond.
Daryl Hammond.
For the Bringing Them Back. Yeah.
Yeah, and he found out through like
that
Norm MacDonald.
That he was Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
They just canned him after 2 weeks. And then they decided, well, we're just going to make that a thing.
Like a rotating...
And then every 2 weeks, there's a new fucking Colonel Sanders.
It's getting us talking about it.
It's true.
And I'm
the
getting hungry.
The last one before Liotta was fucking Rob Lowe. And he did one ad.
What?
And he didn't even try to do a Southern accent.
Oh,
it was
God.
Really... It was very insulting to me.
He was just Rob Lowe.
Like, Colonel Sanders is like, I'm Colonel Sanders. And he was like, hello, this is Colonel Sanders. Fuck you, buddy.
He went the other way.
Amount.
Yeah.
He went the other way.
I don't like that.
They should have just kept Hammond. He deserved it.
Oh, that story about him not getting Trump.
Oh, my God. Brutal.
Jesus Christ.
Brutal.
Did you read that story?
What?
It's like running into your... ex that you didn't know was your ex on a date.
Wait, what happened?
There's a story in the LA Times about him finding out he's not playing Trump and that Alec Baldwin is.
Oh, right.
And that he had, like, turned down all sorts of other offers. He moved back to New York.
Oh, God.
He gets a call from that fucking prick who works for Lorne Michaels. Can't remember his name. He's like,
yeah, but he found
he's
out
the announcer
very,
sec- on
very second
Fallon
hand.
Show. He's like the little
stooge. Oh, the glasses that, guy.
Yeah, he's like the little. The stooge
Minion.
That does the bidding for Lorne Michaels, yeah. And he calls him. Yeah, so we're going a different direction with Trump this season.
We want it to be shitty and not good.
And
no one enjoys
apparently
it.
He said he just like broke down. He was in the park. He just started sobbing.
Oh
and
my
like,
god!
Well, after
who's
the
got, like,
Sanders
a lot of
thing,
trouble.
It already happened to him once where they gave him something.
That's
and
upsetting
then
too
it away
because
from
him. he had that autobiography where he talked about how he was a cutter and
yeah,
stuff.
And he was like a,
I'm worried
a
for
crap.
Him now.
I think they did the article because he was in a better place.
Oh, that's
the whole
good.
Yeah, okay, but
fuck Lorne Michaels.
I hear
fuck him forever.
And he's not going back to Colonel Sanders because they're giving the KFC commercials to Christopher Nolan, and he's casting Daniel Craig as sort of a dark anti-hero, Colonel Sanders. They're 3 hours long, and he says things like, "Do people really care how many spices their chicken has? Or are we just fooling each other?" And then there's a sexually repressed British man.
I would like to see Michael Caine as Colonel Sanders.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Eat the bloody chicken. You want the chicken.
I've realized
some
that
men
I,
just want to watch the chicken fry.
I realize, though, that I am a Colonel Sanders accelerationist.
What did we decide yesterday? That the plural of Sanders was Sandai?
Sandai.
We've had a lot of Colonel Sanders conversations.
It's funny to think that he was a real guy. There was this real, yeah. real gentleman. Sanders.
He was from Indiana.
Dressed like that and everything.
My favorite thing about him is that so he sold a company relatively not after that long of a time after having founded it, but they kept him around as the contracted spokes guy. So he had to go to KFC's randomly almost and like shake hands with people, but he didn't own the company anymore. But he was basically being hired by his former company to do publicity. And but by the end of his life, when he was kind of he lived very long and has started to lose focus, he would sometimes just wander into KFCs to inspect them and like put his hands in the mashed potatoes and just like basically destroy the kitchen in like in a demented old man frenzy. And while all of the employees sort of humored him and tried to reduce the amount of damage, basically we've seen the Donald Trump administration before.
Well, I was going to say that's almost as bad as when Obama reached over the glass at Chipotle. Yeah. Remember when that happened?
Oh, yeah.
It was very late in his presidency, so too late to impeach, yeah. but I mean, that sums it all
up. To what purpose?
He was pointing out like what he wanted.
Oh.
Yeah.
It just showed, all it proved is that, surprise, surprise, the guy had never been in a fucking Chipotle in his life.
The man has never had a Chipotle.
Let me be clear. Yep. KFC is now KFD.
We do dog right.
Look. That's all I have to say. It's my only Obama impression. Look.
We are replacing all of the non-halal meat at Chipotle chickpeas.
I can hear it in my head. Forget it. Move on.
Let's not get political here.
No, let's not get political. Let's move along to...
We can do better.
This is not who we are.
Let's move on to a story about the entertainment biz, about show biz. It's not really political, but it's a little item from Holly
Weird. It's all political now.
Yeah, a little item from Holly Weird. Tim, did you see the story that it just came out this week that... apparently, Angelina Jolie was involved in a plot to arrest Joseph Kony by acting as sort of a honey trap for him.
No. Tell me more.
Okay. Here we go. Come from Newsweek. It says here.
Kony from Kony 2012?
Yeah. Okay. No, and different
Kony. I had
unloaded that from my storage capacity of my brain. Currently sitting on one of my external hard drives.
Yes, that unruly African gentleman, Kony.
It says here, this is from Newsweek covering, it said, actress and human rights activist Angelina Jolie was involved in a bizarre and audacious plot along with ex-husband Brad Pitt to arrest Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony. According to a report published in the British journal, British newspaper, The Sunday Times, Luis Moreno Ocampo, the former chief prosecutor for the International Criminal Court, asked Jolie to take part in a scheme to lure Kony out of hiding in the Central African Republic. The plot was outlined in emails shared with The Times by the French website Mediapart. Forget other celebrities. She is the one, Ocampo wrote in one email obtained by the publications. She loves to arrest Kony. She is ready. Probably Brad will also go. The plot
that George Clooney was furious that he wasn't picked as the honey
trap. Reading on here, it says...
Oh, my God.
She is ready. The plot involved embedding Jolie and Pitt with a unit of U.S. Special Forces soldiers close to Coney's stronghold. Ocampo claimed that Jolie was keen to take part, and she suggested luring Kony to a private dinner where he would be arrested. Quote, Brad is being supportive. Let's discuss logistics. Much love, XXX, Jolie reportedly wrote to Ocampo. American troops, he told her, are eager to get Kony, and after meeting you, they will do it. However, the plan reportedly fizzled out, and Jolie did not reply to several emails from Ocampo.
Oh, no.
I gotta say that this really reminds me that stars are not just like us. because I think you have to be a certain type of cloistered celebrity to watch tales of a horrible Ugandan warlord committing genocide in Central Africa, and his first thought be, I could seduce him out of hiding.
Disagree.
And yeah.
Disagree. How many, the normal thing that all normal men do, you don't know this because you're not normal, is to imagine scenarios where they foil terrorists and dictators.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
every
true.
Time I
sexually.
Enter a building.
Sexually?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I
mean, that is the entire premise yeah. of the James Bond series.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine, yeah, making, like, say, Charles Taylor come so hard that he dies.
I like to imagine these special forces going into the deep jungle and, like, clearing out a patch and putting in this little French restaurant and creating this little
a
street.
Guy
little
parachutes down yeah. and he's making bechamel sauce. Yeah.
They get the Chianti bottle and pour yeah. it in with the candle.
A little bed and breakfast in the middle
yeah.
of the jungle.
Yeah, that's a nice violin.
This is Fire Team Alpha Bravo. Due to a targeting mishap, we initiated the breadstick drop on a hospital on the other side of the country. We have reason to believe that there are 30 civilians in possession of the breadsticks now.
Amber, you brought up Clooney, though. At the end of this piece, it says, according to the report, Jolie was not the only Hollywood star Ocampo tried to recruit to take part in his investigations, and he attempted to persuade George Clooney to get involved in a plot to fly spy satellites over Libya, and Sean Penn to take part in an investigation into the Palestinian conflict.
You know what? This Why is like every movie star's dream, though. You're encouraging their narcissism with this
sure.
shit.
Sure. Yeah. It's Tropic Thunder, pretty much, right?
My favorite part was the line that said, where she says, Brad is also supportive. Like, Brad is being supportive. She's like, get to the point in the relationship with your partner where they're comfortable with both of you overthrowing a Ugandan warlord.
With seduction.
Sounds good, huh? I mean, how it goes?
Yeah. Oh, so you're basically going to be doing Jamie Lee Curtis scene in True Lies for a dictator? That's cool.
I'm just, you know, I'm comfortable enough with my marriage that I'm, like, open to the possibility that, like, maybe my wife sleeps with Joseph Kony. Like, yeah. If you're not okay with that, maybe your relationship just is over.
I gotta say, though, pity the man who has a very specific fetish of being cucked by African warlords only. Like, yeah, it's
a tough one to see through.
That's the only thing that can get you off is to see your wife have sex with an African warlord.
Is he still out there roaming around?
Cody's out there.
He's got his.
Yeah, we have him booked for next week, actually.
You know, I don't approve of the guy, but his ability to keep his eyes on the prize and keep to task, it's inspiring.
He's got longevity. He's always going to have work.
You know what that? You know what Cody says is that he uses mindfulness. That's his big thing.
Yeah. Cody proves that, you know, haters can be motivators.
Yeah.
Like that guy who ended up naked and screaming in somewhere in California, right?
San Diego.
Yeah. Oh,
San Diego.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, like, the guy who started the whole, like, Kony 2012.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
God, so much
like
has happened this
Christians.
Century.
Yeah.
It's kind of insane.
But that was exactly how you thought that was going to end. Like, as soon as I saw that commercial with that, like, ice blonde man saying, we have to stop the warlord, I'm like, this is a person who is going to end up naked and masturbating on the side of the road within the next 6 months.
In San Diego. And lo yeah. and behold, we made it happen.
Yeah, the ice blonde hair is like, that is kind of like public masturbation hair.
Yeah, I mean, like, you've got, like, I think it's something to do with there's nothing blocking your skull from the radiation or something.
Well, I think it takes,
a
certain type of person to get their hair inspiration from 80s teen movie villains.
Right.
That was really the high point of ice
Karate
blonde
Kid.
Hair.
It's very
Karate
Dolph
Kid,
Lundgren.
One crazy summer. People forget that one.
I don't forget that one.
That's a good one. Yeah,
the regatta.
Cusack.
Yeah, yeah, that's
right. Regatta. Cusack. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Look, there's
how dare
only
you
one
suggest
way to get
I
the
forgot.
Girl.
Murray Brothers.
Here's a question that maybe
Demi
people
Moore
talk about
too.
This.
Demi Moore. Yeah.
The One Crazy Summer. Does that world exist in the other movie made by the same people?
Savage Steve Holland.
No. The one with the my $2,
one?
The
skiing one.
The skiing one.
Shit,
what
that one was. I like. I preferred that one.
That's
actually,
better.
Crazy
That's
summer.
Like. What is that called?
I actually never saw that one. Oh, I'm
Better
all
Off
about,
Dead.
Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead.
Thank
I'm,
you.
I'm all One Crazy
it
Summer.
It feels like
That's
they
the
made Better Off
seen.
Dead. It didn't work financially. So
yeah.
Let us take another crack at this with a different story, same characters.
We need boats, not skis.
Yeah.
I like that it had Niedermeyer as like the super tanned villain, the rich guy who wanted to build the lobster restaurant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then it had the
animation sequence in the. Are we talking about One Crazy Summer?
Yeah,
or?
They were making the dolphin movie, and they had like a mechanical dolphin,
right?
And it ate the bad guy at the end, and the little same girl was
plot.
Driving it.
There was the same plot in Summer Rental with John Candy.
Yes,
there was a regatta at the end. Of
Rip
that
Torn,
movie as well.
Yes. Rip Torn in that one.
Yeah,
Savage Steve Holland make another movie.
We have to be off topic.
Yeah, this will all be cut.
I mean, back
this
when
is all topic. Yeah. This will all be cut.
Anyway, back to African child thief Joseph Conan.
Joseph Cusack Conan.
Here's another bit of Hollywood lore that I learned recently on my trip to L.A. Tim.
We're in Hollywood right now. We're in Glendale, but we're in the L.A. region, yeah.
The Los Angeles area. Tim, have you ever been to the Playboy Mansion?
I have.
Excellent.
How did I used that to go there every weekend, Saturday, Fridays and Saturdays.
The buffet nights.
It was a terrible. It was the first year. First year I lived here. I think maybe the second year. That show Robot Chicken, which is on had a DVD release party at the mansion. So I went by myself. It was raining, so it was outside, so it was like all
under a tarp.
Tarped out. It was gross. It was not fun. It was not cool. It felt dirty.
Did you see Hef?
So no. I mean, they used that as like a rental, like a party space. Like
they don't roll him out on a gurney.
No, it was it was surprising.
Like
I remember it because you had to drive very far. It was like, you know, from where we live, it was like a 40-minute drive. Park and then take a shuttle. And it was just
that's
like for a DVD release of a cartoon.
That's
felt
not sexy
excessive,
at all.
Not sexy. Well,
nothing about the Playboy Mansion is sexy.
Oh, there's so.
It's just it's wall to wall carpeting.
Yeah,
yeah, that's insane.
You mentioned that it was dirty. Carpeting. Like a couple of years ago, there was a case that there was an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease in the Playboy Mansion.
That is,
don't think that's sexy. That's a classic debonair disease.
He died of fucking E. coli poisoning. People have not talked enough about that. He was found to have E. coli in his system.
Really?
That contributed to his death. Yes. He lived in filth.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He lived in pools of baby oil that had not been collected for a decade.
He just drank from the grotto, just lapped it up.
Well, speaking of filth, I found out yesterday that the Playboy Mansion had a zoo.
Yeah.
It had its own zoo.
And it was a zoo, all right. Let me tell you.
And we're talking
Jimmy Kahn, ladies and gentlemen.
We were talking about this last night with our friend Emma, who works in exotic animal rescue. So they're wondering if they're going to get some big surplus of like ex Playboy Mansion animals. And then, like, so you said they basically.
All those tigers have AIDS, kid. I'll tell you, you don't want to go near them.
You mentioned that like they just rented it out as a space, basically. Like,
yeah.
After it. Sold it, but he had some clause.
Hey,
that was like,
people stop buying the magazine. Once you can get pornos on TV, on the internet.
But there was a clause that he could live there until he died. It's like, now that he's died, I'm just imagining they're just like going and lining up all those animals on the wall and just
like one after the other.
One at a time, just taking them
drown
out.
Him in the grotto. Take the ducks down there, drown them in the grotto.
Well, you got to do that, though, because what happened in Colombia, after they arrested Pablo Escobar, he also had a private zoo, and it was just left to rot, and the animals got out, and African hippos made it out of Pablo Escobar's zoo into local rivers and are now reproducing and killing
That's
people
what happens.
And disrupting the
disrespecting
the freaking you freaking disrespected my biosystem. Hey, you freaking you bring in disrespect.
You can't hit me. I'm a made hippo.
System Maron.
The only animals I saw at the Playboy Mansion were the bunnies. Believe me.
No, but and then Joe Mandy mentioned that they had peacocks roaming the grounds, and he said peacocks make a noise that is very similar to a woman shrieking.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like, that's
masking.
Why he had the peacocks, right?
Oh, cover. Cover.
Be like, often peacocks will sound like someone yelling, help, help me.
He's so got the baby oil. He's got the baby oil again.
And then we're also like, bring up like the show The Girls Next Door, right? When that was a big hit.
I actually like that show.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna
Matt
lie.
Has seen like you've seen every episode, right?
A lot of episodes.
I've seen a lot too.
It's good.
The thing that was interesting to
good. It has cultural value.
Yeah.
The thing that was interesting to me about that show was like it was obviously focused on the girls, the Kendra Wilkinson, Holly,
Madison.
Holly Madison. Who's the third one?
Oh, Brittany Marcourt.
Okay.
It was actually Betsy DeVos.
But like the little glimpses you would get of Hef on that show were incredible because he was just like in the background, just a doddering old man, shuffling through his house.
It was
house.
Like, oh, why is this physical embodiment of the concept of death hanging out with these young women?
And didn't they also, I saw maybe one of them, but there was one about Clint Eastwood's whole scene.
Yes.
And he's the same way. He's just kind of like popping in the background.
It was the Metamucil.
But I mean, Hef literally wears pajamas everywhere and he expects it to look cool and not sad like he was like, no, I'm gonna make this look very like dashing and bachelorly. It's like, dude, and you're in your 70s.
And he pulled it off by appearing on all of those shows for the young audience as the Grim Reaper in a captain's hat. That's what he looked like on that show.
Mm-hmm. That was the whole Hefner thing. It was like, if you boil it down, he was really like the same as me from like age 17 to really like 24, where just like you wear nothing with a zipper or buttons mm-hmm. that would be complicated. Mm-hmm. And you just fucking cum all over your furniture.
Yeah.
And you're just constantly under some type of influence.
I had breakfast there.
When I said when I was 24, it was before I moved to New York. I exhausted all my supply, my lifetime supply of cum by that time. But it was supposed to be like suave and debonair because he's like, I've also published Norman Mailer and I Smoke a Pipe. And it's like, Norman Mailer, A, dog shit, not as good, not as good as like, you know, a real American author like Nicholas Sparks or The Twilight Lady. B, Smoking a Pipe is what like a college atheist does. But because he was old and constantly dying, there was an air of respectability.
Well, if I may, in defense of Hefner, without Hefner, you don't have jazz. You don't have it. Okay? And that's jazz is America. Yeah, so take that away. What do you have?
But didn't he have all these alpha males hang out at the mansion, like John Lovitz and Andy Dick? Were they regulars there?
I think Bill Caleb Cosby. Horton had the best thing, and this was well before he died. Yeah. But he's like, I've said one thing in my professional career about Hugh Hefner, and it was like from 2014 or something. It's like every time you see him, he's like, hello, I got everything I wanted at 14. Please kill me.
He looked like, pretty miserable. Yeah. I do wonder, though, if Bill Maher went to the mansion after Hef died and poured out some Valtrex
into the grotto.
Yeah.
The grotto is very antibiotic.
Did you?
Point.
I'm sure you guys, a broken clock is right, what, twice a day?
Yeah.
At least.
That's how it works.
Did the Ross Douthat piece on Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. Right. It was very fun to read.
Yeah. No, Douthat sexual panic can sometimes be accurately applied to something.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to give him some props for that.
Well, I mean, there is, we can join in the fact that there are certain people that make us shudder.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Find
it's
places
a unifyingly
to, find places
man.
To unify.
I mean, yeah, any political and social system taken to a certain type of extreme is nauseating and horrifying, and that's just Hefner.
Yeah,
it's like at the end of the total hedonist mindset. His gristly visage.
We'll give Ross credit for that. But when Larry Flint dies, you better keep his name out of your mouth.
Yes. Do not talk about
that
Larry.
That man is a saint.
He's a fucking political activist.
I say
he's a free speech warrior.
Anti-war, too. Larry Flint is anti-imperialist.
He never sold out like Hefner did.
And I also say,
he took a bullet for interracial relationships. Yeah. No, seriously.
I also say this. Hugh Hefner, you, sir, are no Johnny Sins.
Did you have to Google that name, or you know?
Fuck
him?
Off! I know all the porn names. I don't know why. You know, my expertise is doubted. Maybe it's because I'm a woman.
Did you ever see the documentary on Screw Magazine with Al Goldstein?
No,
Al Goldstein.
Yeah,
that's a character.
Yeah. Well, it's great because they would have Larry Flint on, and of course, like Hef wouldn't make an appearance.
No.
But Larry Flint would be like they would go and like they wouldn't be in the same room together, but they clearly liked each other. And I think, Al Goldstein was like, you're a stupid fucking redneck. And then, Larry Flint would be like, he's the only Jew who doesn't know how to make money off tits.
um, So moving on, I was I wanted to ask you, Tim. Have you been following or watching any of the videos that your boy Vic has been posting about Baked Alaska? The Baked Alaska leaks.
So good.
They are extraordinary. We've been having a really fun time watching those.
Yeah, he's incredible. And we've been actually like,
it's the only celebrity we want to see.
Yes, we want to go to Sunset Boulevard and see if we can get on a Baked Alaska Periscope.
Yeah. He's here, right? I mean, you could find him easily.
Yeah.
Because Periscope's 24 hours.
Why don't you make a cameo?
We have not. This is amazing. We've been saying we want to see him, but we haven't thought, well, let's check his Periscope and see
now.
Where he is.
Find, somebody do it now.
Somebody find out where he is.
We could leave. I'd go right now. But, I mean, with all sensitivity and disrespect to is he like a little touched or something? Like,
I don't think he's okay.
I think there might be a little.
But I think he's capable. You know, he's culpable.
No,
you don't think so.
I don't think he could be executed legally. His brain is just. It's not
I mean, I'm really not trying to be even funny.
No, he.
It feels like there might be some kind of spectrum-y thing.
I mean,
the more I look at him,
I mean, he doesn't. I mean, you clearly.
I mean, no to execution.
I don't want
to
bum everybody out. Sit here.
But here's the thing: a man whose only way of interacting with other people is to be humiliated by them has some sort of issue cognitively.
Well, certainly, but we just have to make sure we're not laughing at retarded people.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my day job. You will never make me.
If we're punching down,
that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's not what I am ever involved in. I never punch down.
Well, then who's the punchline here, really? Because Vic's the one that spends 9 hours watching and editing this.
I'm gonna get this guy.
Yeah,
love you, Vic.
I mean, I'm a psychology expert. An expert in psychology. I know all about mental psychology, mentality, all therapy, all the stuff. It's like he seems to have like the same disorder that like really almost anyone who goes into media does, which is they want everyone to like them.
Yeah.
But it just so happens he's like, you know, he's from like a goofy sort of cloistered off place. He was homeschooled, and not everyone who is homeschooled grows up to be wonderful, wonderful internet sociologists and podcasters like our friends, the Hudsons. They often aren't socialized properly, and you combine that with the desire of the new type of micro celebrity to get a bunch of people to approve of you. Like, you just, you end up doing 15 hours of video a day where you're arguing whether it's legal or not to film a guy in an elbow costume who's telling you to fuck off.
Yeah, but it's more than that. He's dumber. He's genuinely dumb. Like, to adequately describe it, we need those like 19th century race science psychology characters. Like, he's not an imbecile, but more in the moron category.
That's right. There are those. The grades. We'll have to test him.
Acute hysteria case.
In one of the videos that Vic posted, he finds some woman and then tries to walk her home, and he's like hitting on her while showing her the comments that his fans are making, which are all awful.
Yeah, like I'm sorry, no, that's if he is of low IQ, he's still of masable IQ.
Oh yeah, no question. Okay.
And
he's like, take it easy, guys.
Just because we don't want the state to execute him doesn't mean we cannot execute him verbally on the podcast.
No, but like
that's sexual assault.
Yeah, and no, and the comments, like one of the comments, he's like, oh, that's nice. One of your fans says, fuck her in all three holes. And without missing a beat, Bake goes, don't know what the third one is.
Oh, what a fucking idiot. Who doesn't know about the belly button?
The one that makes me think he's profoundly stupid is the Auschwitz one.
Oh, yeah, he's standing in front of the gate or something?
Yeah, it's short if you want to play it.
Well, what the hell? I have an internet problem.
You are?
No.
We could IT that for you.
he's at the Grove. Is that it? And there's this like wrought iron, entryway. It's all like decorative stuff. And I don't know, it just says the Grove or something. And he points at it and says, it's like that's like Auschwitz. That's like Auschwitz. This goes on for 30 seconds, and he just says that and laughs at his own mundane remark.
Who pays for the bodyguard?
I think he volunteers. I think it's a volunteer.
Yeah, the guy seems to be a worship. Like he worships.
The best is when Vic puts sir. He like because the guy calls the bodyguard calls him Vic sir.
Yeah,
sir, we're gonna watch out there, sir. You got something. Yeah.
He might just be that much in love with Baked, which is sad to think of. But everybody has their fans. I mean, we do. How did that happen?
That's right, sir.
I've gotten seven fans killed. Protecting me.
another good evidence of Baked's specialness is he said on Twitter, I can't remember the exact exchange, but he said something. He was complaining that some thing wasn't taught in history classes.
Oh no! You said that he said like that nobody they don't teach you that the Democrats or the KKK
isn't that a Dinesh thing or is that Baked? Yeah.
But then somebody responded to him. They said, well. I went to school and public school. They talked about it. And he said, well, I went to homeschool and it was never taught.
Bob Jones University has failed.
Cell phone.
It's like, who are you complaining about again? Your mom, I guess?
My mom is a lib idiot.
That's like if I was yelling at Wikipedia for not teaching me something.
I just love the idea of him in their classroom, in their garage, and his mom's doing a lesson, and she's like, you're a Soros plant! How much is he paying you to brainwash me?
No, that is...
I'm hungry!
That is Dinesh's new book. Which
right.
Is that,
yeah, the Nazi.
Our boy.
Yeah.
No, he's what just
so
he's,
hard
he's just
to come to understand this. It's like, yes, there was a political party. This is what they're about. They changed dramatically, and the Republicans came in and swooped in and took that.
It's also literally the oldest democracy party in the world.
And you have a huge number of Democrats who, once that change happened, switched parties.
Right.
And they all switched to Republican.
And
Strom Thurmond, Jesse Helms, they all switched to Republican.
Right. Yeah, and people...
Strom Thurmond fought for the Confederacy.
And people like us and Bernie Sanders were trying to fight to return the Democratic Party to its roots. It was so hard to understand here.
Like what Dinesh does is he takes like a sliver of like a real idea, which real research has been done, which is basically that like the Nazi Party based their idea for Lebensraum on like American frontier colonialism and like the westward expansion and extermination of Native Americans and
indigenous
indigenous people, world indigenous
thank
peoples
you today. I just
yeah.
Native Americans is upsetting to me,
and so but
the only
he uses,
natives here are digital natives,
yes,
so he uses that to connect it to the Democratic Party and Andrew Jackson. But as our friend Alex Nichols pointed out in his great review of this book, Dinesh keeps getting fucked up because Trump his guy keeps talking about how he loves Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, there's a portrait of him in the Oval Office, right?
Yeah, and he's like, more and more people, Andrew Jackson, very tough, good, and he's a good guy.
Dinesh tried to square that circle by saying, I think by invoking Jackson, Trump is trying to fool the media.
Oh,
because
yeah.
He thinks that, well, all Democrats, all media people are Democrats, and all Democrats love Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, no one.
And so if Trump likes him, then that confuses their liberal minds.
God.
Instead of it being, you have an incoherent, idiotic politics,
right.
All the actual Republicans love Andrew Jackson and love Manifest Destiny,
right.
And slavery was probably more of a good idea than a bad one if you get him a few drinks
and,
in.
He called Alex a chronic bedwetter because I think Alex pointed out in his review, Dinesh's early books, he posits that slavery in America was a mostly benign institution and had a line where he said slaves were treated like property, which is to say mostly good.
Yeah.
In that, like, if you own property, you're not going to, like, fuck up your own house or car.
You should see my iPhone 4.
Yeah, Matt literally just dropped his cell phone in the toilet.
I did that.
Something that, I mean, in real world dollars, factoring for inflation, costs more than an actual slave.
Right. Yeah, I dropped it right in there.
Was there a load in there?
No.
That clean
was
toilet?
Blessing.
That's beautiful.
Said it was a clean bowl.
This is like, you do see that Dinesh kind of missed something during his, awful, inhumane lockup in USP Marion Supermax, where he was sending kites to Ramzi Youssef and Big Meech. But
he was a political prisoner.
He was a political prisoner, but he missed something because before he went in, like, the big move for guys like that would be, to do the Dems are the real racist things. And then when he gets out, the RNC is just like, no, actually, we are the real racists, and we're like fine with that.
It seems so radically out of step with the party that it seems like he really did miss something in jail. Yeah, he's like Denzel Washington at the end of American Gangster. He's like, "What's going on? I don't get it. Racism is good now."
Yeah, he gets out and he gets out and he's like, "All right, we ready to take down Pajama Boy?" And the Trump is just up there, like, "You know he's what? Strasser, a great guy, being recognized more and more."
Klaus Barbie, folks, how stupid were we to let him get extradited?
Actually, this might be since we're talking about Trump, Tim. We did this with you last time where we had you. Read a Trump transcript, I have one here for you now, and I was hoping you could do a.
Did you get the internet?
Oh yeah, a dramatic. No, I have it saved. Ready? Saved. So, I was hoping you could just do a little Trump reading for here.
This is the Huckabee interview.
Yeah.
We did a great man. I don't know if I have it today, but I'll try. Let me read it real quick to myself. Good job. We weren't French. Really good job. I forgot how to read.
That's been my problem for about 5 years. That's why I haven't read any books.
We did a great job, okay? And we weren't treated fairly by the media because we really did a good job. I mean, one example, they had these beautiful, beautiful soft towels, very good towels. And I came in and there was a crowd of a lot of people and they were screaming and they were loving actually, I could read this like he's reading a teleprompter. We did a great job and weren't treated fairly by the media because we really did a good job. I mean, one example, they had these beautiful soft towels, very good towels. And I came in and there was a crowd of a lot of people and they were screaming and they were loving everything. I was having fun. They were having fun. They said, "Throw them to me. Throw them to me, Mr. President." And so I'm doing, you know, tossing them in. So the next day they said, "Oh, it was so disrespectful to the people. It was just a made-up thing." And also when I walked in, the cheering was incredible. And then Huckabee says, "You're a rock star." It was crazy. The cheering, it was deafening. It turned down the sounds, so you just heard the announcer. It was Donald Trump. I mean, look, the media's fake.
I love it. I love it when
soft towels, everybody. Yeah. Soft
did,
the towels.
Did he
soft
think
towels.
They were using those like 5 paper towels to just sop up all the floodwaters? Yeah. And that's how they solved it.
It's the greater picker upper.
The media doesn't understand that actually, in terms of being pet, the rabbit wanted to be pet so hard, literally, that it told me it wanted to be killed by my hands. I like that he like can't get out of like media mindset. He's saying, "Yeah, we sold out the storm shelter." It was great. Standing room only.
What was that? He dropped in for like 30 minutes to the rich part of town or something and threw
and
some
yelled
paper
at them
towels.
For fucking up the budget.
Have a good time.
Yeah, saying have a good time. Okay. Telling them that it wasn't as bad as Katrina so that they got off lucky.
I mean, listen, you have 3,000 people killed in Katrina. Yeah. This is nothing.
Imagine like your town is unrecognizable. You've lost your house. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know the future of the place you live because it's kind of like a colony and it's surrounded by horrible debtors. But, you know, then when you think all hope is down, you hear a meandering 25-minute story about going to an orgy with Larry Silverstein in 1982. And it's like, it's going to be okay.
Everybody's saying in Puerto Rico now, "Trump is bigger than Daddy Yankee. I'm better than Despacito." It's the best thing ever.
I actually, in terms of reggaeton, I actually had the idea for it.
Yeah, that was the other thing he said in that Huckabee interview is that he invented the phrase, not fake news, fake. He just, fake.
Oh, right. That's his word now.
He said other people have used it in the past. I don't know, maybe, but
I never heard it.
I never heard the word fake before. Sundowning now. I invented that turlet.
He thinks that the word fake, those two sounds, the F and the K, he thinks that he created them for the first time in his head.
This is, I have to say, this is a big get for Huck.
On
the QBN network, or whatever it is.
WGO. He ate so much shit running for president. He had that cushy gig at Fox News. And now he's like hucking commemorative Jesus plates. I mean,
he used to have a show on Fox News that would air on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
That was like a hybrid political talk show. And he would come out and do a monologue and he would play bass with people. And I used to watch it sometimes just for like, it was filmed in like the smallest studios in the Fox News building. You could like, there's 20 people in the audience. And sometimes, and I'm sure they would film like six episodes in a row. They would just like get him in off the street. And I sort of got out and watched it just for like the few brief moments where you got a shot of the crowd. And I swear to God, it looked like they were on Howl Doll or something.
Yeah. This isn't Les Mis.
Do you hear the canine sing?
I now that he's on the Pat Robertson Network.
It's not that, but it's something like
it's
that.
It's one of those one of the Jesus networks. He's going to sell his own buckets to compete with the Baker buckets, but they're going to be twice as big.
Yeah. I hear that he's showing up to city like in cities like Portland, New York, LA, and doing just like unannounced stand up sets.
Oh my God!
Like Huckabee's in the house.
He sits down at the Comedy Cellar, and then Huck comes out. Oh, man. Your night has been made.
Yeah, it's in the Eddie Murphy Raw suit.
It's like Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, and they're like, folks, we got a special treat for you tonight.
He's got his legal pad up there, like Janine Garofalo.
Just trying
some stuff out, folks. Just,
you know when you're dicking her down, and she looks back at you and says, "Give me some more," and you're plumb out of dick.
Just new blue Huckabee material.
White people beat your kids.
No,
Huckabee. White people kill your dogs.
Yeah, white people kill your dogs. It's like the only story I had lined up was that item from today about how a former Marine says that his wife's like in utero, like what is it, the scan, the sonogram,
sack.
The sonogram. He said his baby saluted him. He said there was a baby, there was a fetal
prove
salute.
That's not. Also, he's really assuming that baby's rank.
Yeah. You're actually only supposed to salute if you're in the armed forces, so that baby is stealing valor.
Yeah.
That baby fucking stole valor, that little piece of shit.
What if he was in prenatal ROTC? Like,
let's just call it ROTC.
Rotsy, yeah.
Let's hope it's not 20 weeks.
No one.
My parents said that. My parents.
Militaristic parents.
It's ROTC.
Nobody. I know.
By the way, they've been doing this on baseball now. They're calling RBIs ribbies. It's driving me nuts.
That's a classic thing.
Yeah, no. Three ribbies.
Oh, that's an old one too. People do that.
I'm backing Felix up on this. I have heard the phrase "Rotsy Nazi" used before to refer to ROTC kids.
All right.
No.
Not on its own. That's different.
So make it rhyme.
John McCain.
Yeah.
John McCain. He crashed his first plane in utero. So you know there is precedent for being a legacy military admit. Well, you're still on the umbilical cord.
And like, really? And of course, the story was set up like in contrast to the NFL players taking the knee. They're like, here's a fetus that's saluting the flag. What are these guys' excuse?
For me, I mean, it's only so annoying that somebody thought that. Of course they did. Their brains are filled with cotton candy. But the fact that it got turned into a news story to me is very depressing.
Yeah.
We do live amongst these are the dumbest times. We're basically feudal peasants.
Hasn't it always
like that's
been
what we
like
all
this?
Wish we were at this point. Yeah. Like the idea of just like hoeing a row of potatoes.
At least you have some amount of,
I don't have to worry about rent.
Yeah. At least you have some amount of like historic cultural context when someone sees like the Virgin Mary in a tortilla. Like that's like Catholicism. That's many hundreds of years. When you start seeing salutes and sonograms, it's a new kind of sickness.
Yeah.
It would be cool if once the baby's born, he's watching. Let me put a flag in this. How do you say the bald child cartoon?
Caillou.
He's watching
bald child cartoon. What? I don't even know.
It's amazing that you guys came up with the answer to that.
I did not. I had no idea.
Because Charlie Brown is the adult bald cartoon.
Right.
That's the one that resonates as us as sophisticated literary people.
I'm not going to edit that.
There's nothing funnier than a good old peanut strip. And pick any of them. Yeah.
That is one of those things.
Out of the blue. Because
there are all these people who venerate peanuts. Well, they buy the things.
I was listening to some interview on some podcast with Scott Adams, you know, Dilbert.
Oh, nice.
And he got to the root of his dementia was like, You know, I was growing up, I was a big Peanuts fan. And
yeah, what the fuck?
Who the fuck is a big Peanuts fan?
It sucks. They suck.
Yeah.
They're literally
sad. No, really
these
Peanuts
people are
fan.
Like really trying, they're making themselves
they're
like
a fan
it
of the comic section of the newspaper. Yeah. But it's not like there's ever any good content in there. You just read it compulsively because it's the part
you just
of paper
have a
for
weird
you.
Child, yes. Like a somehow as a child, you fetishistically imprinted onto comics.
Yeah.
And now you're a comics guy. Right. And so you have to look for one that has a long venerated history. To be the good one.
Yeah. Well, right. So you're like reverse engineering this credibility to a medium that has produced mostly shit.
I mean, in Minnesota, they're like inordinately proud of Charles Schulz. Right. And they're like literally like on the street I used to live on, if you went down the street, there was like a fucking Snoopy statue. And I remember like reading the cartoons and like the point, like the jokes in the cartoons are like, oh yeah, no one likes to go to school on Monday. It's the same material that Garfield did much better.
I liked all the animated ones because they were just so clearly not for children. They were just clearly like these
all those hardcore
Wes
penetration
Anderson
scenes.
Movies, like fucking.
Even as a kid and before I even knew what this meant, I always had a weird. Protean knowledge that the ideal way to watch a Charlie Brown holiday special is nodding off on heroin.
I remember.
I mean, that's
with,
what eggnog
I remember
kind
thinking
of
with,
is.
With Garfield, like, are these? As I was getting older, I was like, are these getting the quality going down, or am I growing
smarter?
Up?
Smarter. Yeah, that's
the quality
well,
stayed
a lot of
the same.
Do that.
I'm sure.
They say, you know. This really went downhill.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. I should not like this anymore because I'm a grown up.
When do you think they're going to start slipping in, like, fuck and cunt and shit into this?
Garfield on FX?
No, they did that on US Hagar. Acres, not Garfield.
Yeah,
they
Hagar drops the F, like, well, fuck you. Like, wait, I'm reading this, like, wait a minute.
It just wait a minute.
Said,
Hagar,
fuck you.
Hagar
and
swears?
No, he does. I'm saying that's coming.
Or like the Family Circus. Family Circus, like
maybe
when the kids
not Family
will be,
Circus. Yeah, that's their whole brand. But, like, the more irreverent cartoon.
Well, it's one of those things where it's not a self. It's the audience for comic strips is not reproducing. You have the old people who imprinted on it as kids and are still fixated on it. But no new kids.
Kids
read comic
are not
strips.
Getting print newspapers.
So it's still for adults. Yeah. So you might as well throw some swears in there.
I
spice
never.
It up. Maybe
I never,
some nudity. Have Mary Worth take her house coat off.
I never made this connection until now. But you know who Garfield reminded me? Like the Garfield cartoon reminded me a little bit of Bill Maher. They have, like, so kind of the same voice. Because Garfield's kind of like this. He's a little bit like this. Here's
you know
a
who made Mondays? The Republicans.
Yeah.
You know why?
Here's an N-word I'm going to say. Normal. Here's an N-word that I hate. But, yeah, no, I think they have a similar attitude with Garfield. It's lasagna with Bill Maher.
Both a little
weed.
Smug.
It's yeah, a little weed. Smug. It's weed.
You know why Bill Murray did the voice, right? Do you know that story?
Well, that's what he claims when he made the sequel. He can't explain that.
Well, then, then
he was
because
he said,
in.
Oh, it was one of the Coens
wrote it. Was the Coen
brothers.
Like,
fair enough. But you don't think they brought in the Coens to write the sequel, do you?
No,
come
I
on.
Don't.
Come
I
on, Bill.
I think you saw the paycheck and said,
yeah,
okay,
exactly.
We'll do that again.
Let's get a little real
talk. He was committed at that point. It would have confused the audience, his fans, if it hadn't been him. There would have been a
I'm just pissed
there.
It wasn't Lorenzo Music. You will always be Garfield to me.
Mm. New rule, if a veterinarian comes to your house more than three times, she should fuck you.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Tim, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for hosting us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, on your turf.
Sweet. Yeah, sweet yourself digs. To all the LaCroix you want.
I saw some Doritos out there. So
Doritos are all yours.
Oh, hell yes.